Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Always honored to have you listening. Well, we like to bring you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. We've got an interesting show today. We're talking today to a medical doctor about how to overcome fear and anxiety physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And she really comes with a unique perspective because she understands the complexities of the human body and she understands the dynamic of the spiritual battle we're in. We're going to talk about everything from hormones. And guys, this is not just a girl talk. This is about spiritual warfare. This is about panic attacks and all the things that happen, genetic predispositions. You know, fear and anxiety seem like they're at all-time high. You hear so many stories, and yet God has a remedy for us. And yet you might be somebody who battles anxiety, and then you read a passage in Scripture that says, be anxious for nothing, and you feel like a spiritual failure, and you're wondering, why can't I get there? Well, it's not as easy as it seems for some. So there's no shame, and you should feel no shame. We're offering hope today. And would you believe I've got 6 copies of my guest book to give away today, Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. And I got to say, even that title, I don't know. I feel like it's bigger than that because she offers so much help physiologically, physically, emotionally, such practical, tangible things about diet, about where to put your thoughts. But then she addresses the spiritual battle as well. As I said, we've got 6 copies. We welcome your questions and your comments. And if you want in on the drawing, I think you might know the drill, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley is an OBGYN. She's an ordained Christian minister. She's an author and a speaker. She's practiced medicine for 25 years and is board certified in obstetrics, gynecology, and reproductive endocrinology. She makes her home in Austin, Texas, where she enjoys being Grandma Carol to her 4 wonderful grandchildren. We sure appreciate you, Dr. Carol. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it is so awesome to be here, Susie. I just smile every time I hear you. I tune in when I can on the radio or see your social media posts or hear from you directly. It is such a pleasure.
Well, you are a sister of my heart for sure, Dr. Carol. And I'm looking forward to this conversation. It feels divinely appointed for many today. And you've been on enough to know we love to start by talking scripture. I'm wondering if you have a verse you've been thinking about these days.
There is one that God has just been burning into my soul the last few months, actually, and that's the one from Zechariah where it says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. As a medical doctor, all my life I have known what it means to put in effort, to work hard, and God wants us to. He's not opposed to our effort. But I am reminded in some, just deep ways, and with that verse in Scripture, that it's not our effort that brings the results that God needs in us, through us, and for us. It is His Spirit working in and through us, and to rely on that far and above anything we can do.
And yet, as you say, our effort does matter. You're so right that the power is on Him, the glory belongs to Him, more is on His shoulders than on ours, and living in that dichotomy of knowing that with all of our hearts, but then also knowing we have something to do in this equation, right? I mean, we have things to do when it comes to guarding our thoughts, guarding our heart, reining in rogue thoughts, right?
Oh, we sure do. I liken it to a sailboat. Remember when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, he said, the wind blows, you don't know where it comes or where it goes, so was everyone who was born of the Spirit. I've been on a sailboat only once, and when that boat was moving fast across the water, but nobody was rowing, there was no motor, and yet that boat would not have moved at all if we hadn't raised the sails. Hmm. Our role, I liken, to raising our sails. Yes, we have something to do. The power doesn't come from us, but we do raise our sails so that the Spirit of God can do the work that He wants to do.
Love that analogy. Well, for those who maybe missed our, first interview, was I think a few years ago, give us a little backstory on your journey, even battling with anxiety and fear, some of the things you've walked through and what God taught you.
Oh, I sure did, Susie. I grew up in a home that was very dysfunctional. We had gone to church since I was born, but there was a lot of trouble. By the time I became a young woman, just finishing my medical training, I was spiraling down, and I entered a period of severe distress. I euphemistically call it my 4 years of hell, the worst period of time. I would literally spend hours most days crying. I would not uncommonly walk the streets at night with just tears and snot running down my face, and I knew that God had the answer, but I was not finding it. I was not getting anywhere, and the turmoil in my soul was so deep. I was getting various professional help. I actually was on medication for a period of time. I had various diagnoses, mental health diagnoses. And it wasn't until I started learning some things from God that I actually made progress out of that. And my testimony is that I'm not there anymore. That was over 20 years ago now. The things that I learned as God brought me out of that period continue to be part of what I practice every day. It's a lot of what I wrote in this book. It's what I studied in my doctoral program. And it's just become so much a part of my normal life. I can remember being in that severe distress, but the sting is gone. And I just want to encourage people that if you're living in the middle of that kind of trouble and anxiety or fear or stress or depression or whatever, God is less concerned with the speed at which you move forward as he is with the reality that you do just that, that you keep walking. And I'll just amend on to that, Susie, that the things that I learned during that period remained with me, such that even when I lost my husband 3 years ago, going through that grief process, yes, it was painful, and it still is, and I still grieve, but I did not get back into that pit. Wow. Those strategies, the things I learned about controlling my mind and taking care of my body and what it means to employ the spiritual practices needed and so on, have helped me be able to walk through even this most recent difficult journey.
Wow. You talked about a story, actually wrote a story about Vice Admiral James Stockdale. Mm. Talk about that story. That was fascinating.
Vice Admiral James Stockdale was a well-trained, highly decorated member of the armed forces during the Vietnam War. He was shot down over Vietnam and incarcerated in what became known as the Hanoi Hilton, tortured long periods of time in solitary confinement, and thankfully was rescued at the end of the war and made it home. The things that he learned and instituted to help his fellow American prisoners make it through, as well as make himself through, have become a critical part of the armed forces training now for men and women who will be deployed behind enemy lines. As he came out of that imprisonment, he shared with others how he made it through without falling apart. James Collins, in the book Good to Great, interviewed him and described what has now become known as the Stockdale Paradox. And this is what that paradox is. You must retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties encountered, and at the same time, confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be. It's being completely honest about what the facts are that you are dealing with, and at the same time, holding on to faith that you will prevail in the end. Wow. James Stockdale said that as he was in the middle of that incarceration, he determined that not only would he make it through, but that this would be the defining point for the rest of his life in a positive way. Research has now developed a lot of information about post-traumatic growth. We hear about post-traumatic stress, and that is real. But some people can take those experiences and experience what's now called post-traumatic growth. And I believe we as Christians have more than enough so that we can, too, experience that kind of growth.
It's amazing when you think about it, because some people interpret faith as denial. I'm just going to act like this isn't happening. And that isn't faith. I mean, that's not recognizing the reality of what's happening. And I thought it was so interesting in your story, Dr. Carol, how those who did not fare well were the eternal optimists who kept saying, I'll be out by Christmas. I'll be out by Easter. I'll be out by, and they were naming holidays, and that those holidays would come and they would go to deeper places of disappointment. So the juxtaposition saying, this is my reality, but I will prevail. I mean, that is a biblical proposition, because Jesus says overwhelming victory belongs to us. To me, it grounds you in your reality. And I, you know, we've had other brain experts on the show, and they talk about, Dr. Caroline Leaf has talked about this cognitive dissonance. She said the faith declarations that don't acknowledge your reality, she says, creates a disconnect in your brain, and it's actually not good for you. You have to stay somehow connected to your reality and then project God's promises over the reality. Say another word about that, because that seems subtle, but it seems hugely important.
It is very important. The promises of God are real, but you look at the experience of Jesus' followers in the New Testament and the history of the church in the last 2,000 plus years since Jesus. Jesus never has promised his followers that they would have an easy life. In fact, he promised them exactly the opposite. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, trouble, whatever, but you don't need to worry. I have overcome the world. In me, you can have peace. The life of John and Peter and Paul and whatever was not easy. And when we expect that we will have an easy life, that disillusionment is, it's neither healthy nor is it godly. It is absolutely consistent with Scripture that we acknowledge the reality of the messed up, sinful world that we live in. We still live in the crossfire between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. We live in a world that has been messed up by sin. The kingdom of God is here in reality, but it is not here yet in completeness. We face trouble, and Jesus acknowledged that. His followers acknowledged that. It is absolutely a matter of reality, but we need to look for the rest of the truth.
Yeah.
The rest of the truth is we know the end of the story. And spoiler alert, Jesus wins.
Amen. We're going to pause here. I'm talking to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley. Would you believe I've got six, count them, six copies of Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. As I said, I feel like the book is even bigger than the title. There's so much helpful help in here on a practical level. Just as a doctor and as a minister of the gospel, it's just such a unique angle. Boy, email if you want in the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com, or text 877-933-2484. So next we'll speak to you. I just got an email from somebody who said they feel much like I described, where they feel like a failure because they can't seem to get unstuck. The Bible says don't be anxious. Well, they're anxious. What do you do? Dr. Carol will address that in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley. She's an MD, but she's also talking about fear and anxiety from a spiritual battle perspective as well. Six copies, do you believe it? Six copies of her book for you. And I feel like this is a handbook. You'll learn so much. There's stuff about here in a diet, it just a genetic predispositions, and then the spiritual battle that we're engaged in. 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. And Dr. Carol, this dear listener says, I have dealt with fear and anxiety for a lot of my life, ever since I can remember. I'm 44 years old. I cannot seem to shake it. And like you said, I feel like a failure because that's what I feel. No matter how many breakthroughs I have, I still feel stuck. Lately feeling lonely and a sense of depression. I don't want to feel like this anymore. I know Jesus has an answer. I want to be sold out for him. Walking in purpose, but I just can't seem to get there. What do you say?
I my heart goes out to this listener. I think I would put it in this perspective. Most of the time when we face big troubles. It's a matter of all of the above. Remember those multiple choice questions that you had in school, A, B, C, or D? D or E was all of the above. Sin has impacted every aspect of our lives, our physical well-being, our thought processes, as well as, of course, our connection with God. Jesus came to redeem all of those aspects of us. And the solution, therefore, to most of our big problems is all of the above. Remember that Jesus loves you just the way you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay there. He sees you as you are and also as he created you to be. So the fact that it is taking you a long journey to get there doesn't make God love you any less. I want to start there. And then moving forward, it's almost always a matter of surveying every aspect of our lives. God created you and me as integrated, whole human beings. And Susie, you know this so well in your own story, that our physical bodies affect our mind and our spiritual life and our emotions affect our bodies, and it's all connected. So the actions that we need to take are all of those areas. So for this listener who has had such a long-standing struggle, paying attention to the lifestyle factors, what may seem like simple but end up being very important things, like physical activity and rest and eating healthy, learning to take control of your mind, doing the spiritual practices regularly that we'll talk a little bit more about, I know. And not that it's a one-time forever deliverance. Sometimes God does things that way. Sometimes he zaps us and we're from here to there. Often it's a process, and if we can learn to embrace that process as a learning period to develop a new lifestyle, the things that you have been doing haven't been working, so finding even what may seem small things to start changing your lifestyle permanently, and God will walk with you in that direction.
You know, I've quoted you a number of times that I love what you say in the book is even if you've been born with a genetic predisposition towards anxiety, that is not your sentence, that you may have to work harder, but you still can overcome it. Say more about that, because that I've heard way too many people say, well, I've got a genetic predisposition to this, and they sit down on it and they receive it. I'm like, get your game on and let's fight back here. So say a word.
Absolutely, Susie. We all come with a genetic predisposition of stuff, but that doesn't mean that it is the it's the definition of the rest of your life. I might ask a question like this. If your family history was one where there was an obvious sin, say major anger and uncontrollable rage, or alcoholism, or something that was overt in that way that we can name as a sin, you would understand that you have to do more than the average amount of work to develop a lifestyle that keeps you out of that trap. I believe it's the same with anxiety. I'm not calling anxiety a sin. Please don't hear me there. I'm not making that judgment. I am just saying that the way that the genes that we come into this world with, we all have our bucket of stuff, whatever that is. But that only means that is the area where we may need to focus more directly, where we may need to pay extra attention to certain lifestyle things. We may need to apply extra mental processes there. We may need to fight more spiritually in a certain way. I know a man who was a very experienced worker in Christian ministry, traveled all over the world with various ministries, and at one point became so emotionally and mentally dysfunctional, he ended up in a an institution. He found healing, and he is now back in ministry in his 70s and going strong. But as he talks about that experience, he describes how he spends 2 hours in scripture and prayer every morning. That is what he needs to do to keep his mind clear. As First Timothy says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You find what you need to do, whether it's overcoming a genetic predisposition to fear and anxiety or anything else.
You know, this is so important. We've got probably just a few minutes here before bottom break. We'll have to pick it up on the other side. And I want to say this carefully because I'm a lay person. I always joke that I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio. But we're actually talking to a real doctor today. My opinion, Dr. Carol, and I would love to know your thoughts on it. It feels like, you know, I know that there is a place for medicine, it seems, and it's been a lifesaver for many, especially with people who've got hormones that are all over the place. But it's a lifesaver for many. But it does also seem that because we tend to over-medicate and react to symptoms so quickly that some want a silver bullet, but they may need to look at diet, a consistent bedtime, exercise, where do the rogue thoughts go, and the implications of multiple medicines for anxiety actually, I think, diminish your quality of life. They make you numb, and they wreck you. And so what do you think about that?
I agree with you, Susie. We have, in this culture, come to expect a quick fix. Microwave food, microwave breakthroughs, microwave deliverance from problems. God does not promise that our journey will be quick. He promises that he will be with us. And when we expect anything to give us a quick fix, whether it's a prayer or a pill, we're both disappointed and unhealthy. Yes, I believe there is a place for medication in certain circumstances as a tool. I think perhaps the biggest trap when it comes to medications is expecting that to fix you. I was on medication for a period of time, and I believed it helped keep me alive while I learned what I needed to learn. That using medication as a tool can be appropriate, but never as a fix, because it doesn't fix us.
Yeah. And for full disclosure, I've said this before, but it was probably 25 years ago. I went through mild to moderate depression. I, too, was on an antidepressant for a year and went to counseling every single week because all the traumas that had happened in my past caught up with me. So that gave me enough cushion to look at some of that stuff and get the tools I needed to sort it through without feeling like it would swallow me whole. And it was a year I was on that meds, and then I weaned off, and the doctors were like, that was textbook. We wish more patients would do that. And I only say that to say, as a tool to work with all the other things that are available, why this is such an important conversation today. And friends, maybe you've got a question for Dr. Carol today. We welcome that. I see lots of texts coming in for the book. Welcome questions and comments as well. I'm so happy to have 6 copies to give away today. 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484, or middays at myfaithradio.com. That's the email. Please remember the mailing address. When we come back, we're going to revisit some of the physiological aspects of anxiety. And we haven't even touched on fear. But you do write about how sometimes anxiety, from a spiritual standpoint, might be because you're out of step with God and your peace, the flow of peace is interrupted. Other times you might be exactly right with God and the enemy has leveled an attack at you. So we'll talk about both of those scenarios when we return. One of my new favorite songs. I love it. We're going to sing louder. If the drum stops beating, we're going to keep singing even louder because overwhelming victory belongs to us. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley. She's an MD, but we're talking about not just the physiological impact of anxiety and fear, but the spiritual component too. We've got 6 copies. I'm so thrilled when I get to give a stack of books away of her book, Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. Text or email to get in the drawing. Please remember the mailing address, 877-933-2484. Middays is the email, middays@myfaithradio.com. And if you've got a question or comment, let us know about that as well. I want to talk for a moment about the spiritual component here, Dr. Carol. You outlined 2 scenarios where this anxiety that you may be dealing with, even fear, may be more spiritual than physiological. In one case, you're out of step. You're in sin. You're doing something you shouldn't, and you've kind of broken off the peace, the fellowship with the Lord. And another scenario would be that you're actually exactly doing exactly what God wants you to be doing, and that enemy is attacking you. Talk about both those scenarios.
Well, the Old Testament says the wicked are like a troubled sea and cannot rest. When we are not where God wants us to be, we shouldn't expect to be comfortable. And anxiety may be just the troubled results of our rebellion or lack of alignment with God, our sin. It can also be that when you are trying to do what God has asked you to do, the enemy gets scared because of the impact you are going to make against his kingdom of darkness. So our goal is not to seek for everything to be easy. It's often a matter of seeking God's perspective on that very thing. If the Holy Spirit has been saying something to your heart and you have been resisting, that's the first thing to deal with. You know, the Holy Spirit will continue to work on us throughout our journey on this earth. He will reach his hand into the depth of your soul and pull something up and bring it in front of your consciousness and say, this needs to change. Let me help you change this here. And if you are not saying yes to that, then that lack of agreement with God is a good enough reason for you to be anxious and miserable and afraid. So the first thing to do is, Holy Spirit, is there something that you are showing me that I am not allowing you to change? And then, is there something in my lifestyle that, Holy Spirit, you want me to make a change with, to deal with my circumstances? Are there things I am thinking? Are there thoughts I am not taking captive to the obedience of Christ, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians? And then, is there spiritual warfare going on? There have been times since I have come to whatever degree of maturity God has brought me to at this point in my life where I will feel unsettled. I don't fall into the trap of the level of fear and anxiety I have had when I was young, but there are still moments of being unsettled. And there are times I have to go into God's presence and get quiet and ask him to show me, what is this? What is going on? It's a matter of wisdom to seek his interpretation when it's not immediately clear.
Okay, let's talk about the situation where you're actually right in step with the Lord. You're doing what he asks and you get just onslaught. I've heard of people in ministry, and I've battled this as well, where all of a sudden you just feel outright panic and anxiety. There's no sin that you can see, nothing that even the Spirit of God is convicting you of, but right. You are just downright anxious and you physiologically feel the symptoms of it.
Absolutely. And I think we are all vulnerable at times because our bodies, our minds still exist in this world where the enemy still is. The kingdom of darkness is still here. And so taking appropriate physical, mental, and spiritual steps at that point may not be a response to something that you're doing wrong, but they can still be very helpful and appropriate. For example, there are times when in the evening, as the day gets long and so on, that I feel down. I feel like I'm not making any progress, and I'm irritable and upset, and nothing I'm doing is making any progress, things are just not good. I have learned that when I start feeling that way, very often, if I just stop and get a good night's sleep, everything will be clear in the morning. For me, needing sleep is a trigger for that feeling of unrest. Mm-hmm. So that is just part of the way God made us. And taking some very physical steps may be needed. There may be times, for example, when you are in a period of spiritual stress that you care for your body more specifically than at other times, just because we are humans and our bodies need that kind of support to be able to handle the onslaught. Same thing with taking charge of your thoughts at those times. You may need to get extra support from other people. We haven't even talked about how God created us to be in community. Such a big pain point for people is, I feel like I have nobody to talk to. And that can make us so vulnerable. And so you may need to take extra care to get around other godly people to support you in those times when you are at extra spiritual pressure.
That's the thing, is if we go back to that, what you talked about with that prisoner of war hero, where he said, you know, you face the brutal reality of what you're dealing with, but then you have this overcoming mindset. And there are times you just have to fight back. I mean, for me, when I've gone through some of those moments where I've known they've a spiritual battle level at me, and I feel surges of anxiety in my physiology, and I know they're a spiritual attack. One, I enlist my prayer warriors. Two, I get extra cardio. I just work myself out hard just because it burns off that extra energy. I will fast. I'll fast from media and put on worship music. I just up my game in every level. And it's like lobbing a grenade back into the enemy camp because you're shoring up your life, right? I mean, it's amazing how effective that can be.
Totally, totally. Upping your game in all areas of life. That is exactly the right picture. And again, it's all of the above. When you have come through some of these spiritual battles, the smaller battles prepare you for the bigger ones. And I know in my life, and I'm sure you have experienced this too, Susie, in your battles, that when you can look back and see the enemy thought he had me here and he lost, there's something that's solid that grows in your soul.
Amen.
It's not that you're not vulnerable. It's not that you can't be wounded and that you're not affected, but there's something that rises up in you and says, no way, I am not letting him win this. No way. I am going to win because Jesus says I win and I'm on his side.
Amen. This dear listener writes in, I have a question. What's the best treatment advice for those who suffer with anorexia, which is all-consuming, often to the point of death, mind-altering? What do you say about that? It's a little off topic, but I wanted to read that one.
Well, it is so true, and it applies in this way because anorexia involves all. It involves the physical health and the thoughts and the emotions around food, and a spiritual battle is often involved. And I would respond in this way. Get help. Absolutely, absolutely get help. Most of the time, there are traumas underneath that have created pathways in your brain that are now expressing themselves as anorexia, as not being able to connect with food in a healthy way. And so addressing those underlying traumas specifically can bring a lot of healing. And I know in your own story, Susie, the experience of trauma has been something that you've experienced and played out in your body and in your soul. And I know you've talked about this with your listeners. And so for this person wrestling with anorexia, don't fear to deal with those underlying issues. It can feel very scary. It can feel very vulnerable, but refuse to give up. Get help for and deal with those underlying traumas. And along the way, take care of your body, mind, and soul in every way that you can care for your body. Learn how to be kind to the body that God gave you. Learn to identify the thought messages that the enemy would keep bringing into your mind and learn godly comebacks to that, taking charge of those thoughts. And, of course, you know, fighting spiritually, standing firm on God's side.
Very good. Thank you for that question, dear listener. Now, we've got a lot of men listening, I think as many men as women. So, men, I pray for just patience and grace for these next two questions just because we get them a lot. But love to have you speak about women not only going through menopause who have surges of anxiety and those who have impossible monthly cycles where they feel like they become a different person because of a hormonal shift every single month, and their, you know, maybe their spouses don't even know what to do with them. Is it, you know, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm just going to ask it. Some feel like it's just they need to grin and bear it, but is that unwise? It seems that there's more you can do rather than just grin and bear it.
there absolutely is more that you can do. And you've mentioned two of the times. There's a third time when women are vulnerable, and that's right after birth with postpartum depression and so on. And it's a matter of the changing hormones, right before a woman's monthly cycle, changing hormones at menopause or right after birth. And I encourage I encourage women to take charge. Don't be a victim to the changing hormones. During this season, you may have to stand up and fight and up your game, like you said, Susie, in all of these areas. We know, for example, that women who are struggling with menopausal symptoms or premenstrual distress can often have a reduction in symptoms dramatically by regular physical exercise, by getting your cardio on, by paying attention to healthy eating habits. You may need to pay extra attention to those lifestyle factors at those times. And then looking at what the thoughts are in your head, the messages that your brain is hearing and buying into and refuse to agree with them, you know, taking charge of your thoughts. I have women ask me about this frequently, and my message is, don't take it lying down. You take charge. You're not a victim.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is our last break. When we come back, we haven't touched on fear at all. So I'd love to talk about fear's impact on our physiology, even on our mental health and the spiritual component of our fear battles. Talking to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley, her book is Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. Again, she has such a unique perspective because she's an MD, but she's also an ordained minister, knows the Word of God, and she's coming at this from all angles. You know what? We can win these battles, friends. So let's not play victim. Let's not get into self-pity. We are not under our circumstances. We are under the shadow of His wing. And He says, overwhelming victory belongs to us because we belong to Him. We've got 6 copies of Dr. Carol's book. I'd love to get your name in the drawing. If you've got questions, comments, include those as well. 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Back in a minute.
I'm going to sing my way out of the valley. I'm gonna shout my way up to the mountain. I will take hold of the truth of your promise. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise.
Is that the best song? That's Corey Voss. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Talking to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley, we've got 6 copies of her book, Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. If you've got questions or comments, we've got a few minutes left. Here's the number for texting to get in on the drawing or to include your comments, 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Talk, if you would, about the issue of fear, its impact on us physiologically, emotionally, spiritually.
Certainly fear has a big impact. We know from scientific research that a person's ability to go through stress is definitely lessened by fear. We know that the immune system is altered when a person experiences fear. Sometimes it can be a little challenging to know which comes first, because that feeling of fear certainly can be triggered by biological changes. But there is so there are so many strong connections between our brain and all the body organs that when we feel fear, our body's response is measurable. The response of blood pressure, of heart rate, of the GI system, big connection between the brain and the GI system. And feelings of fear make all of those body processes go in an unhealthy direction. So big time process. Another thing that fear does is it gives you tunnel vision if you allow it to control you. You only are able to see things that acknowledge your fear, and it's very challenging to see the rest of the truth. What I often encourage people to do is when you have those feelings, acknowledge them, but then look for the rest of the truth. Your feelings of fear are real. Like we said in the Stockdale Paradox, being brutally honest about the facts as they are, a medical diagnosis, your marriage is in trouble, your child is having trouble with the law or drugs or whatever, being honest about that, and a human response of fear is understandable, but then look for the rest of the truth.
I'm just letting that in as I'm thinking about other things that we've covered on the show regarding fear, about the power of fear over our inflammatory system, where we just get high levels of inflammation when you're in fear, and you make reactionary decisions when you're in fear, and our tendency is to hunker down and brace for impact. And yet, as someone who's that has been my biggest battle my whole life, and I would tell you, I feel like I've got 90% of that thing behind me because of the victories God has won for me and through me. I want people to know that there is hope, but that you can really, the things that used to trigger you don't have to trigger you anymore. But it goes all back to what you're saying about tackling this thing on all fronts, and it takes work. Talk to the person who knows that they sort of follow their thought process rather than reining in the thought process. And I've been there, so there's no shame in this, but I'm just saying, when our thoughts go rogue and we go with them, they'll always lead us into the ditch.
Oh, always, yes. And Susie, you illustrate so well that your continuing fight against fear, you're acknowledging the victory that you have gained, but you are continuing to live a lifestyle that refuses to give in to fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important. And for that person who really struggles with rogue thoughts, learn to tell your mind where it's going to go rather than running after it. Our thoughts are not all powerful. This is not mind over matter. But our thoughts are much more powerful than we usually give them credit for. And God has given us executive authority over our minds, and we have the ability to choose where our minds go. And there is a lot in Scripture about this. The well-known verse in Philippians 4:8, whatever is, you know, true and honest and just and pure and of good report, think on these things. That's a call to tell our minds what to do. Even when things are going totally wrong, totally bad, and you have good reason to be anxious or fearful, you can still choose what your mind does in the middle of that. We have learned so much about that process from studying prisoners of war. And we talked about Admiral James Stockdale at the beginning, one example of that. Another example of that is studying those who came through Nazi prison camps. Some of them came through well without any post-traumatic distress. Viktor Frankl was one of them who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, a Viennese Jewish psychiatrist. He came back to the Viennese hospitals after the war and basically ministered to those who were suicidal because of their stress. And helping them choose to find meaning made all the difference. As Christians, as believers, we have the ability to choose to focus on the purpose God has put us here for. And that can give us, for lack of a better way to say it, power over that fear. I love the biblical example of Peter. All through his time with Jesus, Peter was known to be impulsive. And as Jesus was being arrested at the end of his earthly life, Peter denied him. From a human perspective, out of fear, Peter was honestly, appropriately afraid that his life was in danger, and it was. But only a few weeks later, about 6 weeks later, Peter and John are hauled before the authorities in Jerusalem and stand there proclaiming the name of Jesus without any fear at all.
Amazing.
What made the difference? Being with Jesus and seeing him alive was a big part of that difference. And we can choose to focus on Jesus being alive and then the presence of the Holy Spirit. We can welcome the Holy Spirit's presence in our journey to continue to fight against fear.
Beautiful. Love this. Rhonda texted in, put your game on. Love that. So true. She says, the same mama bear love energy that we moms put in for our crew is the same energy we need to put on for our health because we love our health. family, our husband, our children, and our friends, and we desire to honor God with our life. She is so right. And I think because the world has made such an idol out of health and fitness and our bodies and body image, the church tends to have this pendulum swing way away from this. But I want to read this again because I think it's a word in due season for friends. Put your game on. She says, so true. She said, the same mama bear love energy we moms put in for our crew is the same energy we need to put in for our health, because we love our family, husband, children, friends, and we desire to honor God with our life. This really is a stewardship thing. And we're not just fighting for our quality of life, which is huge, but fighting for how we show up in life for everybody that we love, like Rhonda says.
So true. It is a matter of stewardship, and I love that word in talking about this whole area. Stewarding our bodies, stewarding our thoughts, stewarding our energy, that as 1 Corinthians says, you are not your own. You belong to God. You are bought with a price. And what we do with our bodies, our thoughts, our energy, our time, makes a difference, not only for us here and now, but for eternity. God does not only save you, deliver you, free you, heal you, empower you for you. It's for something beyond you. There's Amen. For a purpose. He does not only save you from something, but for something. And focusing on that keeps things in perspective. Hebrews says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus, the Son of God, had to keep his eyes on eternity, on the goal in front of him to make it through. And we will have to do the same, to keep our eyes on the purpose.
Amen. We just got a couple minutes, but I want to see if I can squeeze this in just so Madison gets an answer. She said, I've been staying stuck in fear. When I try to tell myself to have God's joy, it stresses me out because I know that I truly don't have it deep down in my soul yet. It's been a stressful process for me trying to take captive my thoughts and make them obedient to God. Is it okay, after having acknowledged some of my negative fears and after having brought them before God, to just ignore them and move on as if his joy is in me, even though I don't feel it yet? I still want to be honest before God, but I also know that this thought process is making me more selfish than anything. What do you say?
Lifting your eyes beyond your own problems is always wise. Sometimes we can get so navel-gazing, focusing on our problems and feelings, that we miss what God is truly doing. And I would say this too. If you're struggling with fear, run into the presence of God. Like a parent with open arms, he's the place of safety. If you're a parent, you know what it's like for your toddler to run into your arms and all the boo-boos go away. Do that with God's arms. Run into his presence, and your fear can be dealt with.
You know, Scripture talks about his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And Madison, one thing that helped me, and Dr. Carol, you can speak to this with the little bit of time we have left, but yes, there are times I just put those thoughts out of my head, because I thought, if they're not in God's head and heart, they're not going to be in my head and heart. So even if rejection feels true, if paralyzing fear feels true, I'm not going there. I'm just saying no, and I'm shutting the door, and I'm going to think about other things. And I've read from brain science that sometimes you interrupt those destructive thoughts by just doing something else. Go bike riding. Just turn it off and go, I'm going to just redirect. And they said something can happen in the neural pathways just by interrupting those thoughts.
That, I believe, is a big part of taking your thoughts captive. Absolutely. Interrupt them, replace them with something else. You can strengthen new brain pathways intentionally, by choice. Just focusing on the negative thoughts and feelings just makes them stronger. So intentionally replacing them with something totally different and godly is absolutely part of stewarding our minds and thoughts.
Well, Carol, this is Dr. Carol. I want to respect you rightfully. Please come back again. This is so good, and I just feel like there's so much we can learn so that we can overcome fear and anxiety in our life. We sure appreciate you. Thanks for the time.
It's been an honor. Thank you, Susie, and God bless all you and all your listeners.
Ah, that's just wonderful. Our drawing will be open for 6 copies of the book for the next, 15 minutes or so. So keep them coming, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. We got another great show planned for you tomorrow, so don't miss Middays tomorrow. God bless your day. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.